Listen, there has never been a better time to invest in self-storage, and there is no better team than ours to show you how to do it, because we wrote the book on how to invest in self-storage. Literally, I created the best-selling home study system back in 2007 titled How to Find, Evaluate, Purchase, and Manage Self-Storage Facilities. And since then, we have helped thousands of people launch and scale their self-storage business and have now become the nation's go-to resource for all things self-storage. And that's because we not only talk the talk, we walk the walk day in and day out since 2005 through now two recessions and amassing a 2.5 million square feet of self-storage, totaling over 15,000 doors nationwide. There is nobody else that has more experience in self-storage that is teaching people how to invest in self-storage than our team. So if you're ready to launch and scale your self-storage business, then go to selfstorageinvesting.com. Click on the events tab to grab your ticket to the upcoming Self-Storage Academy, along with tickets to our virtual academy for those who can't make it or just aren't ready to go live at this time. So that, again, is selfstorageinvesting.com. Click on the event tab, but do it now as seating is limited. So go do it now. And on behalf of my team, we look forward to seeing you then. Take care.
This is the Self-Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your self-storage business. I'm your host, Scott Myers, and over the past 16 years, we have acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated over 2 million square feet of self-storage nationwide with the help of my incredible team at selfstorageinvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in self-storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Self-Storage Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Myers, and this week's podcast is sponsored by PassiveStorageInvesting.com. And I'll just bet, if you were like the thousands of investors looking for yield out there, then you have come to the right place. Because since 2005, we have bought, sold, converted, and developed over 2.5 million square feet and over 15,000 doors in self-storage. And for all the reasons that I love self-storage, it is the recession-resistant and pandemic-resistant nature that has kept me in this asset class for so long. So I invite you, if you haven't already, which I'll bet you have, which is why you're here, but do your homework. And then head on over to PassiveStorageInvesting.com, as we'd love to have you partner alongside of us on one of our many projects as we head into what will be the greatest and most profitable cycles for self-storage that we've been preparing for since the last recession in 2008. We are literally coiled up like a spring, ready to explode as the demand for storage continues to rise during the recession, as we deploy our plans to develop, convert, and acquire all the value-add opportunities that this downturn will bring. So head on over once again to PassiveStorageInvesting.com to learn how to come and invest with one of the most experienced teams in the business, which is why this podcast is so timely, because our guest, Dustin Heiner, is the founder of Master Passive Income and Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference and Successfully Unemployed. Those are his three businesses. And he is a real estate investor who was able to make enough passive income from his business to quit his job when he was only 37 years old. And now with his podcast, YouTube channel, books, courses, and coaching, he now helps other people to quit their job by passively investing in real estate to live their dream lives. And I wanted to have Dustin on the show to discuss the reasons why investors are looking strongly at investing in passive investments right now, and how to map out your road to financial freedom by investing alongside of other experienced investors like us to achieve your goals. So without further ado, please enjoy my wide-ranging conversation about how to win by passively investing in self-storage with my good friend, Dustin Heiner. Dustin, my friend, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Scott, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Man, I really love real estate, and it's not necessarily like real estate's fantastic, even though it is. I get so many benefits out of real estate, but it's what it affords me to do in my life. Like, I became successfully unemployed. That's what I like calling instead of being called retired, because a lot of people say, you're retired? Like, what do you do the rest of your life? Like, well, I still do stuff. But anyways, I like being called successfully unemployed. And with that, I am able to come on podcasts like yours and talk to great people like you, Scott, and really just help more and more people. Because I found in my life, the more people that I serve, the more people that I help get what they want, the better my life gets and the better their lives get. So I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, Dustin, what I wanted to talk about and share with other folks here is our journeys were very similar. We like real estate, but it is just a vehicle, as you mentioned, to allow us to have a lifestyle business or to it's a means to an end. And so you realized that very early on that, hey, this is kind of fun, kind of like real estate, but it still is work. And if I plan this out a little bit better, then I don't have to treat it as work, that it truly is something that I love because it's helping me and catapulting me to that place where then I get to do what I want to do. And so walk us through your journey and extra focus on that time frame in which you said, all right, now I realize that I have to put a plan in place with a goal in mind specifically to work towards. Can you walk us up to that point? And then what was that light bulb moment or that switch, which then said, okay, now I'm going to really take control of this thing and work towards a certain date and a certain number?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, yeah, I was blessed to be able to, I'll fast forward to the end, but I was able to retire earlier, become successful unemployed at 37 years old. But I didn't start that way. In fact, I started fairly poor. My dad was a carpenter. My mom was a waitress at a restaurant. And I grew up really poor. But at the same time, I've always been entrepreneurial. So I'll go back a little to the beginning and walk you through the process. So I've always been entrepreneurial, you know, starting businesses, that idea and stuff. And so growing up, I wanted to start businesses, but I'm told, just like we are all told, to follow this plan in life that everybody has. It's go to school, get good grades, and then get those good grades and go to college, get in thousands and thousands of dollars into debt, get a degree, which is a piece of paper they give you, and you walk around, you try to find a career at some other job, and then work 40 more years, and then hopefully retire on what you've managed to save up that entire 40 years of working. And I was doing that normal thing, going to school, doing all that sort of stuff, but at the same time, entrepreneurial. So when I was 13 years old, I had a newspaper out. You know, newspapers are kind of going away, but I rode my bike with the newspapers in my bags and would throw them at 5 a.m. in the morning, banging them on garage doors, waking people up. Then I had a convenience store and a pizzeria. I started from scratch, a skateboard manufacturing business, a graphic website design company, but all the while still working a job. So because I wanted to become an entrepreneur, but all those businesses, they were okay. I made some money, some lost money. But in the end, I was still working that same, what I call a J-O-B. Your job is a J-O-B because you're living and working and you're living just over broke. Now, I'll tell you this quick story that really shows what catapulted me. I had to change my mindset. I really had to figure out, oh my goodness, something happened. I really need to make a change. So this is what happened for me. So my wife and I got married and I was working for a county in California, doing IT work, technology type work in a county in California, and regular 9-to-5 sit down desk job. And my wife and I started having kids. And at the same time with the businesses that I created, they weren't making much money, but you know, it was trying. I bought one or two rental properties. And I realized, my goodness, I bought one rental property. It could be a 4-unit, it could be a duplex or something like that. But if I buy one property, I don't work and it makes me money over and over and over again. And I realized all I needed to do was become an investor, buy more and more properties, and I could literally become an entrepreneur, quit my job, and I'll become successfully unemployed. You know how it all happened. So I had two properties. Life started getting in the way. Had one kid, then two, then three, and eventually we had our fourth child. So here's the story. So my wife had our fourth child and I go on paternity leave. And that's where the dad stays home with the mom and changes poopy diapers and bonds with the baby and all that good stuff. Well, the week I get back from work on a Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon, I get a call from my boss's secretary, like the top dog. She gives me a call and says, "Dustin, would you please come to the office?" And I said, "Sure." And then I hung up the phone. And as I sat there, I paused for a second. I thought, my goodness, this isn't normal. Why in the world are they calling me to the office? And then as I sat there, I remembered a couple months before I went on paternity leave, there were some rumors or some rumblings going on that there could potentially be layoffs in the county because the county was running low on money. And I immediately shook that off. I said, no way. I worked here for 12, 13 years. My bosses love me. I do a great job. I have plenty of seniority. There's no way. It has to be something else. So I get up and I walk down the hallway. Now, Scott, this hallway isn't very long. In fact, it's kind of short, but every single step that I take, it feels like that hallway gets longer and longer and longer. And it feels like my feet become lead bricks because I'm starting to realize this could potentially be the time that I lose my job. And the weight of everything starts crushing down on me. Well, I make it down the hallway and I turn the corner and I see my boss's door. His door is closed and I see his secretary right there, and she looks at me and grins sheepishly, kind of grins at me and says, "Dustin, would you please have a seat?" And she's trying to console me with her eyes because she's a super nice lady and she knows everything about what's going on. I know nothing about what's going on. So I go and I take my seat. And as I'm sitting there, I start thinking about my life. All this time working this path that people have told me I must do, college and then school, college, get a degree and then get a career. If that's all taken away, was that a waste of my life? And then, oh my goodness, I just had our fourth child. My wife just had our fourth child. If I can't work a job, provide food for our family, what does that make me as a father? Does that make me a failure as a father? Does that make me a failure as a husband, as a man, try to provide for his family? Well, as I'm sitting there, my hands get all clammy. My forehead gets all sweaty because the nerves and everything is just weighing down on me. I feel like the world is crushing me. Well, the door to my boss's office opens up. Out walks a lady, a coworker of mine, with a piece of paper in her hands. And she is noticeably distraught, noticeably upset. She's not necessarily crying, but you could tell her world has been devastated. She passes by me and my boss says, "Dustin, would you please come in the office?" Well, I go into his office and I get laid off. And remember, this is the government. Nobody gets fired or laid off from the government, but I did. So I take that layoff notice and I walk back to my desk. And this is the reason why I'm telling you the story. This is what catapulted me into where I am today. I realized two things. Now, I could have just wallowed in self-pity and say, oh, woe was me, but I didn't. I knew my family was depending on me. I needed to provide for them, and I needed to make sure, this is what a big takeaway for me, I needed to make sure that nobody had the ability to take away my ability to feed my family. I need to make sure this never happened to me ever again. So right then and there, I realized these two steps. Number one, I need to get another job. So I was really blessed to find another department in the same county that had extra money, so I was able to move over. So really blessed, praise the Lord, to be able to find another job right there, which was great. But the second thing, as I'm sitting in that chair, and this is the reason why I tell this story, I realized that my value does not come from my job. What I would tell everybody was that when everybody would ask a question, what do you do? Basically, they're asking you, and when they ask you the question, they're asking me, what value do you put on yourself? And so what I would respond, oh, I work for the county, I do technology work. And I realized right then and there that I was putting my value in my job. My value doesn't come from my job, and yours shouldn't either. My value comes from my God, from myself, and from my family. And so right then and there, I told myself, no longer will I ever say what my job is. Instead, I'm going to tell everybody I am an investor. Now, remember, maybe have one or two properties, but at the same time, 100% of my money coming from my job, that's now my part-time job. I am a full-time investor. So I'll fast forward the story. I started buying more and more properties, each rental property, making me $250 or more from every single one. And I realized that my boss was not paying me what I'm worth. And this is another thing everybody needs to take away. Your boss is not paying you what you are worth. And this is how you'll absolutely know, because your boss is paying you just enough to keep you working without quitting, but not so much money it's taking money out of their pocket. So if you get paid for the value that you bring, your boss would go broke. And so I realized that, and I fast forward now, started buying property after property. Eventually I had 30 plus properties, and I was like, man, even though I'm making $75,000 a year at this good job that I had, I'm losing money. So I'll round out the story by sharing, I went to my new boss, great boss and everything, working for the sheriff's department, doing IT there in a county. And I went to the new boss and I said, hey boss, I'm laying you off. Here's your layoff notice, you know, in a joking way. But I gave him 2 weeks notice. He says, Dustin, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't have to do anything. I own real estate. It makes me money in passive income, so I don't have to work. And I would literally never need a job again. So the last part of the story, if you remember that part where I told you I was walking down the hallway, that short hallway that got longer and longer and longer when I first got laid off, well, I walked away from my job the very, very last time. It was a mile and a half walk. I worked in a downtown spot, so it was a mile and a half walk because I didn't want to pay for parking. I felt like I was walking on clouds because I knew I will never need a job again. I am financially independent because now I have a business that makes me money without working, and I will always be able to feed my family, provide for them so that nobody else could take that away from me. So now changing my mentality to where now I'm an investor, that's what catapulted me into become a real estate investor. So I'll pause the story because you probably got plenty of questions to ask.
Well, and this is really timely, and that's why I wanted to pick up this conversation again with you, Dustin, and share with Storage Nation, because there's some correlation here. And as I'm looking back on my journey and my story, and there's a couple of points that you made that I wanted to bring out. And that is, in 2000, I went through that recession, and I was working for corporate America with a Fortune 100 company. And it was one of those tech companies that also got burned by cooking the books, or for cooking the books. And their stock went down, and so with it went my 401k. And like that, overnight, it was like vapor, $350,000 from my 401k was gone. And so that's a pivot point. That's an inflection point. They were laying off people as well. And I began to look, and I was already in real estate like you, had a number of single family houses and one apartment, small apartment complex. And when my wife and I sat down and we were kind of going through things, and just, you were stronger than I was, Dustin, we were wallowing in self-pity because we were pretty ticked off that we lost $350,000, but we hadn't lost our job. But we began to look at this and say, hey, all right, let's take a look at how much money we're making per hour in real estate, add up on the hours that we were doing this part-time in the last year, and how much money we made, and what is that in an hourly basis? And then how much money are we making in this W-2 income? And we were making more on an hourly basis, even though it was part-time, but on an hourly basis in real estate for the time that we put in because it was passive, to your point. But then also, we bought this real estate to hedge against our retirement just in case things didn't go well with everything that we had in the stock market and everywhere else. And so, well, guess what? It happened and it accelerated pretty quickly. And so that's what allowed us to make that decision really quickly. And we put a plan in place and I was able to do the same thing and put my boss on notice and said, I'm taking off. But another thing that you mentioned is, which I want to touch on, which is really the kind of the personal, the emotional, the self-awareness piece of all this. And you're right. And folks, I'll second what Dustin said. Your value isn't tied up in who you work for and what you do for somebody else. Because when you go through the exercise and you put pencil to paper, if you've got another job, if you're already an investor or begin looking at properties, you recognize how much money you are worth by what you can generate on your own and not for somebody else. And myself and my entrepreneur friends, as we went through the second recession in 2008, at that point, we had sizable portfolios of rental real estate. And literally just feeling bad for some of our friends and the folks in our inner circle that had been let go, that had been downsized, and they didn't have any fallback. They didn't have any safety net, and they were beholden to a job, and they were relying on then another company to essentially provide for their family by giving them some work to do. And that's a very humbling place to be in. And that is the flipping that script that everybody through all the years, as you mentioned, Dustin has told us, you know, you go to college, you go in debt, you get a good job and you work for a good company and you'll be safe. And for those that are listening, my air quotes are up right now. Well, what a horrible place to be in that if the economy turns that a company just lays you off, that's not safe. I'd rather have the ability to be able to drive the ship of my own business because I know that I'm not going to get laid off. We may go through a period when things aren't going so well, but I'm not going to get laid off and then be wondering how I'm going to provide for my family at that point. So,
can I add
Dustin, I'm going to turn my show back over to you. So, yes, please.
Yeah. So, you're right with being safe. When you think about what safe actually means, if you have more financial independence, more financial freedom, where you are counting on yourself as opposed to somebody else, you seem, in my opinion, you're more safe. Because remember, I was working for the government. Like, it's so hard to get fired or laid off from the government. And I realized after that happened, because this statement is absolutely true. It's a quote. I don't know where it came from, but it's not if you lose your job or if you get fired. It's when. It will happen. And I, you know, I was young, naive. I was like 23, 24 when I first got a job. And I heard that quote. I'm like, oh, that's never going to happen to me. I'm a good employee. I'll be totally fine. No, it literally happened. I found the most secure job I could ever think of in California. I was working for a government agency in California. Anyways, I got laid off there. I found now it is so much more risky to not invest your money. It's so much more risky to put your entire family's future, your ability to put a roof over your heads, put food on the table in somebody else's hands, which we've seen in the last, I don't know, we've had so many market cycles in the last, 10, 20, probably 20 years, different market cycles, crash in 2000, like you were expressing, Scott, and then 2008, 2009, the real estate market crash. And it does seem like there might be something coming here in the future. And if you're not prepared and you're just working for somebody else, that is so risky because if they don't have money, or if they just say, hey, we want to cut expenses and increase our profits, they can just cut you out of there. So that's what I needed, was to make sure that this didn't happen to me again. And with that, to add to like the premise of what we're trying to talk about right now is having that vision in the end of where you're going to go. And so what I told, as I was talking to my wife, is like, how much money do we need every single month to cover our expenses? Basically, what are our expenses and how much money do I need to make outside of working for somebody else? And my wife told me, and I remember the number, $4,200, you know, mortgage, insurance, family, all that sort of stuff, $4,200 a month. And I thought, oh my goodness, okay, like let's just pencil this out. Remember, I mentioned this. I bought one rental property that made me a minimum. Now, this is not the maximum. This is the minimum. Some make me a lot more than this. Whenever I buy a property, it's $250 a month in passive income from each property. And so at the time, I realized, my goodness, okay, $250 is $3,000 a year in passive income. Now, if I multiply that out, it's just simple math. If I got 10 properties at $250 a month, that's $2,500 a month in passive income, $30,000 a year without working. 20 properties is $5,000 a month without working, $60,000 a year, and just keep scaling it up from there. And then for me, what I realized was, my goodness, if I can get to, I think it was like 18 properties, And at the time, I was calculating all my expenses, I was going and all the income. I want to say it was 18 to 19 properties. And I said, hey, to my honey, hey, babe, I think I could quit. Like, we're looking at this. Now, it did take a little more nerves, even though I knew I could get laid off at any time, to leave that W-2 job. It just feels so secure, but it's not. Trust me. Like, listen to my story and realize, literally, my baby was 2 or 3 weeks old, and I get a layoff notice. And so what I realized was, if I invest in real estate, and there's so many great ways to invest in real estate. I love playing Monopoly, you know, starting with, let's say, a house or even land with Monopoly, but then building it up. And now I'm blessed to have so many properties now. I invest in passively in syndications and multifamily, you know, apartment complexes. I've even invested in hotels, which is fantastic. And I would love to get into self-storage and land investing. There's just so many great ways to do it. Now, each one of these helps me to keep me at that endpoint of not being dependent on somebody else for money for my family and being able to provide so that my kids have a solid, stable future. And so everything from the passive investing to any land investing or Airbnbs that I have, whatever it might be with all real estate, or if I get into storage units, all those would be just adding into the passive income streams that go into really a big river of income. I like a river of income that comes in from all of my real estate investing. And because I had the end in mind, and here's another key term that I love to help everybody understand, is delayed gratification. I knew that every penny, now this is when I was working a job, every penny that I spent that did not go to a rental property or go to real estate investing in general was that much time longer that I had to work for somebody else in order to eventually quit my job. And now, like I said, fast forward now, when I was 37 years old, I was able to quit my job. But that was literally, I want to say 8, maybe 9 years of sacrificing. Like, we wouldn't go on vacation. We'd eat top ramen or macaroni and cheese. Like, we would literally sacrifice. And the reason why I did that, because I knew it would eventually pay off. You and I, like Scott, like having this conversation, it wouldn't be if I was working a regular dead-end job.
So, Dustin, let's do this. Is whether we're in the year 2000 or 2008, let's talk about the general framework to recession-proof somebody's personal income. You know, it's the simplest, and it isn't rocket science and doesn't need to be, but for some folks, just sitting down, they've shied away from a budget and they haven't just sat down at the table to find out, what are our expenses? What's our break-even point? What is our nut that we have to hit every month to be able to keep the lights on, stay in the house, groceries and everything else that needs to happen, even outside of any other investments? If you haven't done that, folks, I strongly encourage and recommend that you do that. I've taught Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey's course, for a number of years within my church. And it's amazing to me how many people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that have never sat down to see where their money is going.
And we're never taught this stuff in school, Scott. That's the reason
why. And that's why. 100% correct. And so all it takes is to have somebody show you how, but really all it takes is the gumption to say, all right, it's time to look under the hood of my own finances and find out exactly what this looks like and start telling my money where to go instead of it telling me where to go. But let's build a general framework because, as you mentioned, and yeah, I firmly believe we don't know exactly what this next economic cycle looks like. It's going to be a recession of some magnitude. We don't know what and how it's going to differ. It's going to be different than 2000. It's going to be different than 2008. They always are. But how do we get people prepared for those folks that are maybe a little anxious? They're in a sector of the economy that is feeling the pinch right now, and they maybe have something in the pit of their stomach that makes them think that, I may not be as safe as I think I am right now. What are some of the steps that they can and should be taking right now to recession-proof their personal finances?
Yeah, so there are lots of different things. I'm going to give some big, broad topics or things you need to do, but that's going to be so much more in-depth that you would need to learn in order to get there. But I'm going to hit on one specific one that I am very passionate about. So the other topics that we're just going to touch on, cutting expenses. Like, we sacrificed. We cut out things because, like, let's say, get rid of Netflix or whatever it might be, because we knew all that money that went out was less money that we had to provide for our family.
So beans and rice, expenses. My friend, you just stay on beans and rice to pay off the debt.
Absolutely. On top of that, if you're cutting your expenses, getting out of debt, that's another huge one. If you have debt, you're going further into debt, get out of that hole. You're just making everything worse. So those are two big ones. Saving money, there's another huge one. Now, saving money, you can buy more real estate. Now you can invest with other people's money. It's a little more advanced, especially if you don't have experience. It's harder for people to want to invest with you if you don't know what you're doing. But all that stuff, we can get past that. But here's what I love. Now, when I first started thinking about being able to be financially independent, I was basically looking at saving a buck, is like a term, like saving money, but cutting expenses. But there's only so much you can cut. And there comes to be a point, and when you don't have much money, it's good, absolutely, 100%, you must do this. But it comes to a time, you need to start realizing, I need to start, instead of saving a buck, making a buck. How can I start making more money? Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm 42 years old now, and only businesses and only way that I make money, like investing, businesses, and all that sort of stuff, the only way that I make money now is with passive income. We're not taught this in schools. This is what I really want to nail down. We're not taught this in school. We're not taught financial independence, financial literacy at all, even, but even passive income, being able to work one time and make money over and over and over again. And if you remember back in 2008, there were so many real estate investors that went bankrupt. They were just gone. And I know lots and lots of them that did. I did not. And the reason why, like, I made so much more money through the recession, through the crash in 2008. The big reason why, I was not investing for appreciation. I was investing for passive income. All the people that invested for appreciation, they literally went bankrupt because they were hoping and praying that it would continue to go up. It doesn't always go up. But no matter if the market goes up, the market goes down, or the market goes sideways, I still make money because I make money in passive income. Now, to add to that, because I was so blessed to be able to quit my job, just imagine if you had 40 plus hours of your life every single week back to you, you can create more businesses. You can find new ways to make money. You just have that 40 plus hours of your life back. Now, I literally have 5 different businesses that make me money, and they all come back into my real estate. That's where I put all my money back into real estate. But what happens is all of it is passive income streams, because I'm looking at, okay, if there's going to be a recession coming, number one, get out of debt, cut expenses, increase your income, start saving for investing, and then start investing. But on top of that, what other businesses that you can work in your life to make more money that doesn't take more of your time? Because that's the only one thing we will always spend but never get back. We can never make more time. We can never spend money to get that time back. Your time is very, very precious. You want to spend it with your family. You want to spend it with serving your church, serving the people around you. That's what you want to do with your time. So your time is limited. You want to be as, not necessarily efficient as possible. You want to now work one time and get paid over and over again. That could be writing a book, selling it on Amazon, creating an awesome song. Now, I'm not good at either one of those, but I have written a book and it does sell. But if you look at other things like affiliates or affiliate marketing, where basically you promote somebody else's product, they pay you money. You create a podcast where you have advertisements. You create a YouTube channel. You do things where you work one time and you make money over and over again. For me, I love real estate. That's why I called my company Master Passive Income. So when I was quitting my job, I had so many friends and family members asking me, how are you quitting your job? Like, what are you going to do? I said, well, I invest in real estate. The second question always comes, well, can you show me? I was like, oh, I guess. And so I just found out that I enjoyed, after teaching so many friends and family members how to do it, from there, I realized it's a lot of work teaching people one-on-one. Maybe there's a better way. So I created a podcast, YouTube channel, everything called Master Passive Income, because I realized I buy one house one time. I make money over and over again, and I'm creating generational wealth. I will literally give the knowledge and the properties to my kids. And with that, I am able to now, not obviously not work a job, but in coaching all this stuff, it's made me so much more appreciative of all the blessings that I have. So now with this generational wealth, I am literally going to be able to take this passive income every day of my life and then give it to my kids every day of their life. So biggest thing that I want to round out by talking about passive income is learn more about different ways that you would be good at creating passive income. It could even be, and I just created another business called the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. Scott, you mentioned it in the beginning. So it's a conference. Now, that's a lot of work. There's a lot of things going on in the conference. But here's the great thing. It's passive income because I hire employees. They're the ones that actually do all the work, and I just reap the benefits. Same thing with investing. I hire, you know, when I invest in real estate, when I buy rental properties, I don't want to work, like if you heard the book, The 4-Hour Work Week, well, in my opinion, working 4 hours a week is for suckers. I don't want to work 4 hours a week, not even a month. I maybe work 30 minutes a month just by looking at my property management statements from my property managers and setting aside and going back to work, because I've built the business. And if you hear me at any length at all, from anything that I have, you hear me say over and over again, and Scott, you would definitely agree with this, build the business first before you buy a property. A lot of people will say you buy a property and then you spend thousands of dollars, to buy the property, then spend thousands of dollars to fix it up, and then find a tenant, and then find a property manager. We don't do that, or at least I don't teach that. I teach we build the business, and then we buy inventory to put into that business, and then that's a passive income business. I'll give you a quick example, and then I'll let you, you probably got some questions, Scott, but here's a quick example. If you're going to create a convenience store, you're not going to sign a lease on a location, open the doors, and set a box of candy bars in on the ground. No, you go out of business in like 2 seconds. What you would do, though, is you would build the business first. You'd get the gondolas, those are the shelving units, all the candy bars go on, the countertops, the cold storage, the fountain machines, bank accounts, cash registers, insurance, employees, everything in the business before you bought any inventory. Same thing with real estate investing, in my opinion. We build the entire business first. And every piece of property that we buy, it's a piece of inventory that we put into our business because our business takes care of that. That's how I was able to scale my business so fast, is anytime I bought another property, I just put it right back into the business. So my suggestion is, recession coming, learn passive income streams, learn what you're good at, and then apply that in, but also add to that, just like with Scott, we want to put all those passive income streams into investments like residential, 4 units and below, syndications, Airbnb, self-storage, all these different great ways to invest your money to make even more money when the recession goes down. Remember, I said I make money if the market goes down, sideways, or up. And the reason why is because passive income keeps coming in every single month.
So one thing that was surprising to me, Dustin, is early on in, is so we have two businesses. We have our education platform, which is our podcast, and then we also do events as well. And we teach people about this business, but the investing side started way before that. And what we teach our folks is exactly what you're saying, which is you have to set up the business first, and then you're going to drop facilities into it because you have to have a team. And we talk about creating this 5-person team to then go out and begin the marketing and funneling proper opportunities through, then become prospects, which then become ultimately, hopefully, something that we are going to close on. But there's a host of folks that we need to have in place before any of that happens. And so, yeah, you have to have a plan and you have to build the business first. And so as we begin working with folks and teaching, coaching, holding our live events, what happened is at the end of 3 days of our Self Storage Academy, they looked at what it takes to build a business, the credit risk that they would have to take on and signing on the note for their own self-storage facility, then the lease-up risk if it's a development or a turnaround. And all along the way, there's some challenges that they're going to run into or that they could potentially run into taking on all this on their own. And what we found, Dustin, is that there's a whole lot of these folks that said, you know what, I think I'd rather invest in one of Scott's passive investments in one of his syndications, because if I'm looking at the returns that he's offering over here and I don't have to put up $250,000 or $100,000 or $500,000 to get into a facility, but I can invest, you know, a minimum of $50,000 or maybe a little bit less or a little bit more, have a piece, have equity, I'm an owner, but I didn't take on the credit risk. I didn't take on the lease up risk. As a matter of fact, as you said, I spend 30 minutes a month just taking a look at my investment or this investment and the reports that Scott sends me, and those returns are probably higher than I would generate if I went out and did this first deal on my own, maybe later on when I become a little bit better at it. But no, I think I'll stick around right where I'm at on the passive side. And so that was a big mind shift for me to see the mind shift that people went through as they recognized. And then that caused me to reflect and take a step back a little bit and say, yeah, I am taking on a little bit of that. And so we changed our business model to more joint ventures, spreading that risk. And then also we now invest passively, which I never thought we would do, being the control freak that I am and being the syndicator, the promoter, and the one wanting to do this. But eventually you'll come to that realization that this is the better way to go. It's more predictable. It frees up your time to do whatever it is that you're best at. And if it truly is your best at being the promoter, the sponsor, the syndicator, the developer, then so be it. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have some of those eggs in that other basket, being the passive basket as well.
Totally. And I know now, like I said, I really love real estate. In fact, that's where my money goes. I keep make money other ways and I keep putting it back into real estate. And then I really thought, man, I'm a really good real estate investor. Then I started meeting so many other awesome real estate investors, like, man, I'm so mediocre. Like, or at least in my mind, I'm thinking that. And the reason why, like, bread and butter for me, like the easiest thing is 4 units and below. I don't need to learn any of that. I've done it for, I don't know, 15, 20 years now, however long it's been. I've been doing it for so long. I think I started in 2006, so whatever that is, 18 years. So I started back then, it's so easy to me. I could literally do it in my sleep. But when it comes to apartment complexes, multifamily, no. Hotels, no. Self-storage, I'm like, wow, I love the idea of self-storage, but that's so much more that I have to learn and so much more I have to do. Why not do passive investing? And then with that, I started Master Passive Income, Successfully Unemployed, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. I started building businesses that are helping people, serving people, teaching, connecting people. I realized that's my passion. I love real estate, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to learn every single nuance of way to do every single, like I want to learn land investing, but I realize I don't have that much time to do that. I want to learn self-storage, but I don't have that much time to do that. Let me find good people like yourself, Scott, and others who are doing this that know what they're doing. And I'm blessed to be making money from obviously all of my other businesses. Let me now park that. I could take part in it. I just don't have to completely learn everything, which is now looking back, I'm so glad I started investing passively because it frees me up to do what I love to do, which is connecting people, helping people. I've found the more people that I serve, the better my life gets and the better everybody else's life get. And so with that, I realized, oh my goodness, this is so much more my speed. Like that's what I want my time to go to is serving, not learning how to do something else. Now I will say what was really interesting. So Scott, if you remember, I quit my job when I was 37. When I was 27, I gave myself a goal. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, blew my mind thinking there's passive income. What is that? This is crazy. And then Kiyosaki in the book said his goal was to quit his job in 10 years. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make that goal. And I made that goal and I achieved it. Then for about a year afterwards, I didn't have a goal because I didn't really have something I want to achieve. And so, I mean, I was growing a little bit here and there, but I didn't have a goal to shoot for, to sacrifice, to attain. Then I created a goal. It was just a quantitative goal, just something because I knew I could hit it, was to make $1 million from all my businesses in profit in 10 years. That was my goal. But I kid you not, Scott, I got so bored of that. Like within a year, sooner than that, I was like, I hate this goal. We have plenty of money. Now it'd be great to have $1 million a year, but it wasn't driving me. But what I realized was driving me was how many more students I can show how to invest in real estate or how many more people I could point to, like say your podcast or somebody else's podcast saying there are other ways to change your life so you don't have to work for somebody else and be financially independent. So fast forward, what I did was I created a new goal for myself. It's to help $1 million. It's to help 1 million people to become financially independent through investing in real estate. That's how I created my new conference called the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. It's everything under the sun from investing in syndications to Airbnb to storage, all that sort of stuff. But it was birthed out of my new goal to help people. And so now I can help people by connecting and showing them other people, other ways to do this investing. And so now I'm going after what I am absolutely gifted for. So I completely resonate with what you're saying, Scott. Mm-hmm.
Well, Dustin, I want to thank you so much for your time in breaking that down. And again, this is a very timely and it is important to get out and I think to immerse yourself in a room with folks like at your conference. And again, I was kind of surprised at our own events, how many people were coming there where not only the people I mentioned earlier that were interested in wanting to invest in self-storage actively and then only to find out that I think maybe passive is the better route, but then how many people were coming to our events with the sole intention of investing passively. They wanted to learn more about the asset class so they could do their own due diligence when a syndication was put in front of them or to invest in a self-storage fund. But really, at the end of the day, what they wanted to do is they wanted to see my team. They wanted to see me. They wanted to see what happened when I stepped off of the stage, how I treated my staff, how I treated individuals that come up to me and ask me questions or just kind of follow me around to see if I was the real deal. Because it could be the best asset class and look like the best opportunity, but the operator doesn't come from a place of integrity, or if they don't have a solid track record and you haven't done your due diligence on that syndicator, the promoter, the person that you're investing with alongside of, that too can be very risky on the passive side. And so at the end of the day, folks, it is all about due diligence on the asset class, on the promoter, the syndicator that you're working with as well. And then, you know, verifying, trust but verify. And that comes from social proof and the other folks that are in the room as well. So with that, Dustin, let's talk a little bit more about your upcoming conference as well as how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, I love giving away just all this stuff. My goal is to reach and help 10 million or a million people. So would you mind if I give everybody a course absolutely for free, just showing them how I do the business and how I scaled my business? Would you mind if I give that away?
Love it. Absolutely. Don't mind at all.
Awesome. So I want to give you my real estate investing course. I'll literally give it to you for free. If you text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll give it to you literally for free. Show you how to find an area anywhere in the country. We invest all over the country, no matter where we live. Anywhere in the country to invest, finding the right properties, building the business first, scaling the business so you can quit your job. I'll literally give that for free. You can even go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. All one word, /free course. I'll literally give it to you. I just want to see you change your life. And my real estate conference, I appreciate you bringing that up again. Yeah, it's the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. And Lord willing, it'll be May of 2023. It's looking like it'll be here in Phoenix. And I'm still waiting to sign the contract with the hotel. But hopefully I'll have you here with us, Scott, speaking at the conference. But we do everything from syndication and multifamily, hotel investing, Airbnb, rental properties, land investing, self-storage, like anything that's investing, not flipping or wholesaling. That's more work. I don't want to do work. But yeah, so it's the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. If you go to rubcon.com, rewbcon.com, I'll literally give you like grand tour of everything of what you're going to learn. And actually what I could do, Scott, well, let's do this. If anybody wants to get a ticket, I'll give them 10% off if they use the promo code Scott. Just use your name, Scott, and they'll get 10% off the ticket. So go to rubcon.com and we'll give them 10% off the ticket.
Fantastic. I appreciate that, Dustin. Well, I am definitely looking forward to that. Folks, it's all about educating yourself, even as a passive investor, and understanding the different asset classes, but more importantly about the plan and how to go about doing it. And for those of you here in Storage Nation, or if you're new to the podcast, if you want a little bit more about what we do on the storage side, PassiveStorageInvesting.com. That is where our projects are set up in our fund and what free white papers and resources so that you can dig in, dive in, and begin to learn a little bit about the self-storage side to see if that is an asset class that you would be interested in as well. So first, take Dustin's course, take him up on his offer, and go through and set up that framework and understand just exactly what it is that you want to do, how to go about doing it, and then begin to look at those asset classes. So with that, Dustin, I always appreciate our time together and appreciate you taking time out for Storage Nation today as well.
Thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate having you on the show.
All right. Take care, bud. We'll see you soon.
Hey, gang. Wait, three things before you leave. First, don't forget to subscribe to the Self Storage Podcast and turn on your notifications so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram. And don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit the follow and subscribe button on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us. Take care.